The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to February 2022, episode 202, Welcome to Hell. Hey, if you want to convert some of your soon-to-be worthless fiat currency into tangible gold and silver, go check out our sponsor over there, Wise Wolf, Wolfpack Auto Buy Program. Go to macroaggressions.gold for more information. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morrison.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for a lockdown.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, sometimes YouTube, or now on band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We certainly do appreciate your support. We know you've got a million options out there, like literally a million options out there in the podcast world. And the fact that you chose to spend some time with us means a lot to us. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. If you are interested, you can connect with my sponsors. They've been tremendous for this show. Chemical Free Body has been wonderful. Tim James, the owner of the company, has been on this show. He's been on the show more than anybody else, frankly, and was nice enough to have me on his 100th episode with Sam Tripoli and Pat Miletich. And we did a really great roundtable on the future of health and where things are headed. And I encourage people to check that out, but also go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. And what you can do is you can take a look at the 90-day gut and toxin detox package that he put me through. And let me tell you, it was amazing. I lost so much weight, wasn't trying to lose weight, had no intention of losing weight, just trying to get healthier. And by taking this program, took me, I think I did it in 80 days. The 90-day program I did in 80 days, because I'm just difficult like that, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, The results were tremendous. I actually made a video of it, so you can see for yourself. If you go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro, there's a page there. You can read up about it. You can see the little video I made. Look, some results may vary, but I'll tell you what. If you're putting good things into your body, you're going to get better results than you know, garbage in, garbage out. So same goes for our body. Same goes for our minds. If you are interested in getting yourself healthy, if 2022 is the year that you're finally going to do it, you're going to stop procrastinating, you're going to stop doing all that stuff, I'll tell you what, just go to the website and read about it. Just read about what Tim and his team are doing there. The products that they're putting out are phenomenal. I've had tremendous results. I think you will too. But in the end, it's up to you. No hard sell here. Read about it. Chemicalfreebody.com/macro. You can get all the information there. And on your way out, use the promo code macro to save yourself a little bit of money. And of course, we talk about this. I feel like a broken record, but I'm going to keep saying it until I know that all of you out there are ready for the coming apocalypse, whatever form and fashion that takes. I just want to make sure that everyone is prepared with it for it. So My Patriot Supply, one of the sponsors of this show, was nice enough to create a landing page for us. It's preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And if you go through that site, you'll get discounts on a 4-week supply of food. You'll get discounts on a 3-month supply of food. God knows you're going to probably need it. And look, let's be honest. What's the worst case scenario? You have emergency food. If the supply chain shortage doesn't wind up happening, and I hope it doesn't, but I think it will. If the wheels don't fall off here in America, you're probably going to have some sort of weather-related catastrophe at some point. These things, this food will last you for like 25 years. I mean, you're going to be good for a while. I don't know that I'd want to eat it on the 24th year. Maybe it's good. Can't be any worse than my cooking. I wouldn't want to eat my cooking today, let alone 24 years from now. But something tells me that the people over at My Patriot Supply know what they're doing when it comes to the food processing and packaging, because it'll last you for 25 years. And look, what's the worst thing that happens? You're stuck with extra food. I mean, we should be so lucky. But I think that this is a situation where, in fact, I know this is a situation where you're going to want to be proactive. You've got to start thinking, doing these things in advance. If you're waiting for the news, the nightly news, if you're waiting for Brian Stelter to come on and say, guys, I think you ought to get ready, it's never going to happen. They don't want you to be ready. They want you to be dependent on them for news and information. They don't want people being proactive. But that's not what this show is about. This show is about understanding where we are, honestly, taking an honest look at it, projecting out where we're going and making adjustments to accordingly. So when I see supply chain issues and I see all of this, I start thinking it's better to be a month or two early than a day or two late. And you might want to take advanced action now. That's the benefit of listening to these crazy ass podcasts that you conspiracy theorists like so much, you lunatics out there with your ideas. Well, here's an idea for you. Get ready. Get prepared. However that means, whether that's financially get prepared, whether that's by having extra food, whether that's by having money out of the bank, get ready. Just be prepared. You'll feel a whole lot better too. Set your mind at ease. You'll be in a better mood. You'll know that if the shit hits the fan, you'll at least be way ahead of everybody else. So if you are so inclined, you can go to the website, preparewithmacroaggressions.com, and see what you think. I have buckets of food. I have buckets of food. Mitt Romney has binders filled with women. I like my plan much better than his. Something tells me he's a pedophile. Just saying. I'm just kidding. He's just a little odd. But I'll tell you what. On the show, we've had on the show Whitney Webb a couple times, and I hope people are reading her work at Unlimited Hangout because it's the best out there. I mean, I'll put her reporting up against just about anybody's. And one of the stories that she covered, though it was a while ago. It was maybe, I don't know, it had to have been 9 months or so. It's not breaking news or anything like that. Was digging into the depths of really who is behind this COVID operation. And we all know who the usual suspects are. We understand Fauci, and we know about the Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We know about the CDC and their criminality. We hear about China. We know about all this stuff. And the pharmaceutical companies that are involved in this, you know, they're not to be trusted. They're all convicted felons. Pfizer paid the largest criminal fine in the history of the United States. So, I mean, this is the wrong batch of people to take advice from. They have a vested interest, a financial interest in selling their products. Their products are supposed to make you feel better when you're sick, but we all know that there's no money in healthy people. There's the money, and there's no money in dead people, really, or very, I guess funeral homes find the money in the dead people. But for the rest of us, and in the pharmaceutical industry in particular, the money's right in the middle. Keeping people just sick enough that they need these products on like a treadmill forever, adding more and more pills. This pill has side effects. Well, I got to get you another pill that'll counteract the side effects of that pill that you took. Oh, but that pill's got side effects. Well, I got a pill that'll counteract the side effects of that pill that's counteracting the side effects of the first pill that you took and blah, blah, blah. And that's why people wind up on like 9 medications. They get dragged into the ER and the doctor's like, what medications are you on? She's like, I'm on Lexapro and I'm on Zibalzepam and I'm on the, and you're like, holy shit, how are you not dead already? But that's the medical industry. At least in America, it is. And it's broken and it's crooked and it's by design. And there are institutions that are behind this, that are making these things happen. There are institutions that are, well, they're only disguised to the extent that the mainstream media doesn't talk about them, but they are out in the open. And one of them that we're going to discuss is the Wellcome Trust. It is described as the world's wealthiest medical research foundation, but it has been knee-deep in the COVID conspiracy since day one. In fact, before day one, because they were involved with a lot of the so-called research and development of some of the vaccines that were being formulated before COVID even started. There's a lot of, when you dig into the papers behind that, what you'll find is that they've been working on these vaccines for years. So though they are rushed to market, it's not some accidental product that nobody knew they were going to need. They've been tinkering around with this for a while, in part because they made it happen. You must understand this, that the idea of, you know, bat flu escaping out of some wet market and then randomly coming in contact with somebody and then they spread it to this person and then it turns into that movie Contagion. That is all conspiracy theory. You know how we get branded? Oh, you conspiracy theorists. No, no. The official story of COVID is the conspiracy theory, right? So this is something that, you know, it didn't escape. And then they said, well, listen, the bat story, you're right. It seems like, well, it seems like maybe there's more to the story than it being bats. It turns out that it did come out of the Wuhan Institute for Virology, but it escaped. It just up and escaped. You know, we left the door open. The guy's in there mopping, you know, he leaves his mop bucket propping the door open and all these viruses are escaping. And I mean, this is the level of absurdity that they would have you believe. COVID didn't come from a wet market in China. COVID didn't accidentally escape from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. They let it out. They made this happen. This wasn't accidental. We have Event 201, which predicates this in October of 2019, where they lay out the whole plan and then the plan comes together like the fucking A-team is making it, you know? All of a sudden, all these things that we speculated might happen started happening. What a coincidence, right? I don't believe in coincidences when it comes to these people. These people are dangerous and they make the bad events happen when they need a bad event to justify some absurdity that they're about to commit. So they don't sit around waiting for organic bat viruses to just pop up and then they go, let's capitalize on that. They invent the whole scenario and they make things happen in order to transform society, in order to have the pretext and the excuse and maybe even the justification by the general public to start going out and making these things happen. So The Wellcome Trust is every bit as involved in the COVID component as the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. In fact, when you see them, they're like this. I mean, no surprise that they're intertwined together. They have a lot of overlap. Wellcome Trust has overlap with several organizations. And this leads back to an episode that we did a couple weeks ago where we were talking about depopulation. Now, when you get onto the topic of depopulation, a segment of the population is just going to go, that's too much for me. I'm sorry. I hear you. You might be right. I don't want to think about that. That sounds a bit too crazy. These people are trying to kill billions of people. I don't think so. Well, okay. I mean, look, I don't want to believe it either. And the first time you hear that, it sounds crazy. Actually, the first couple times you hear it, it sounds too absurd to be true. And I wish that it wasn't true. But again, these organizations operate in plain sight, and their stated goals are sometimes very disturbing. But the way it's framed and the lengths that they go to massage their image and to give themselves the appearance of being a charitable organization, an altruistic endeavor that's out there just trying to make the world a better place, you know, when you peel it back, what you start to see is that some of the institutions that you think are there to help you, to benefit your health and make you, to help humanity, are front groups for eugenics operations. Now, the Wellcome Trust has had very long and deep ties to the British eugenics movement. And to just sort of start this off, the Wellcome Trust is located in the United Kingdom. It's not limited. Their scope is not limited to the UK or to Europe, or you know, it's a global endeavor. But that's where they're based, and that's where the founders, the founding member of it, who is a pharmaceutical owner, Mr. Wellcome, and he started this as a charity organization. Wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, a charity like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation. You know, those charities that just go around helping everybody by removing them from the planet ahead of schedule. So you start to read into, you go, well, all right, well, who, I've never heard of the Wellcome Trust. Like, and if you're not working in genetics, then you probably don't know much about them, or you're not working in the pharmaceutical industry, then you probably don't know much about them. You might have remembered a time when there was a pharmaceutical company called Glaxo Wellcome, and they merged with SmithKline something, and anyway, the new name is GlaxoSmithKline. And so that happened in 1995. And that merger, that pharmaceutical company, GlaxoSmithKline, that is just one of many companies that is involved in, well, let's just call it some devious shit. I don't think that's the official term. I don't think they put that on their documentations that they submit to the SEC that they're involved in some shit, but that's what they're getting into. So let's look into it. Okay. The Wellcome Trust has $40 billion to spend. Okay. They're a quasi, they're a medical research facility. They're a venture capital firm. They're a eugenics operation at their core. They're interested in depopulating the world. Doesn't look good on their marketing campaigns to say that, but when you dig into their roots, that's what they are. And they spend a lot of money on grant funding, on advocacy campaigns, and partnerships. And what they describe it as, they say that they've got this massive fund in order to spend money on grant funding, advocacy campaigns, and partnerships to find solutions for today's urgent health challenges. Sounds good, right? Sounds like what you want someone to do. Some wealthy pharmaceutical guy starts a charitable foundation to continue his work. The problem is they also have, because they're a venture capital arm and they're seed funding all of these operations, they're looking to make money too. In fact, just last year, the Welcome's investment portfolio was up 34.5%. Aren't you happy for them? They're they did really well last year in the year 2021. Their stock portfolio and the investments that they had created billions and billions of extra dollars in them. Would you like to know who they invested in? Because I think it's kind of relevant. Now, of course, there's all the pharmaceutical companies with confusing and complex names that they've invested in that do a variety of things. Too many of those to mention. Okay. I'm not going to get into those. I'm going to get into the ones, I'm just going to mention the ones that they did that you might go, okay, I see what you're doing here. They invested in DoorDash because, you know, everybody's going to be cooped up in their house ordering food to be delivered. So let's invest in DoorDash. Now, mind you, Welcome Trust is behind this whole COVID operation. Like they're tied in with government, very tied in with the media and the pharmaceutical industry. They're partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates. They understood that COVID was coming. They fucking were involved in it. Okay. This is the group that was involved in it. They are, you think, like I said, in America, we point the finger at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and rightly so. They're up to no good for sure. But in the UK, it's Welcome Trust. And for those listening in the UK, you're like, yeah, you're late to the party, pal. But for Americans, we don't hear about it. Obviously, it doesn't get wind up on the nightly news. It's very rarely talked about unless you're listening to obscure and unusual shows like this, or you're reading Whitney Webb's work at Unlimited Hangout and others. So I think it's important for people to understand. So they invested in DoorDash. They invested in Instacart. Same thing, like delivering groceries. They invested in Krispy Kreme. Now, I know, I sound like a tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, but when I hear that, when I read that, you know, the medical research company that's super duper interested in your health, I promise, swear to God, invests in Krispy Kreme donuts. And then Krispy Kreme Donuts does a national ad campaign where they say that you can have a donut a day for for the rest of the year if you go and get a vaccine. My spidey senses start tingling. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, but then they also invested in the others, the usual suspects, Amazon, who profited handsomely during the pandemic. They invested in Visa and MasterCard because online payments, and they also invested in Apple. So this is a group that is interested in making some money. They wouldn't be putting some of their investment from their investment portfolio. They wouldn't be buying these stocks if they weren't interested in making money. And to be fair, there's nothing wrong with buying stocks in order to hope that their value goes up. That's kind of the point. But when the Welcome Trust is involved in it, It just is a disgusting layer. But they made an announcement a couple of days ago saying that they had planned to spend £16 billion over the next 10 years for the next generation of COVID vaccines. So if those of us out there that are looking at the COVID narrative and we're going, oh, you know, it seems like the wheels are falling off, maybe it's going away. It's not going away. I mean, it's just going to change forms. But when they're investing billions and billions of pounds into the development of new COVID-related vaccines, then you can expect new COVID-related vaccines for the next decade or so. I wish that wasn't the case, but that's really where they're going. So the Wellcome Trust, who do they work with? Who do they partner up with? Well, academia, philanthropies, businesses, governments, civil society, and also the general public. All right. So this is not, they don't come right out and talk about the eugenics component, but it's there. It's evidenced by who they do business with and what organizations they're involved with. So for COVID, they were deeply involved in advocacy through raising money which they're very good at doing, vaccine development through their Coalition for Economic Epidemic Preparedness Innovation that was co-founded in 2017. You know, when the SPARC pandemic document came out. They are deeply involved in treatment development through support for COVID-19 Therapeutics Accelerator. They have a branch called the COVID-19 Therapeutics Accelerator. Again, early on, we were calling those vaccines gene therapies, and we were right to do that. And people came out and said, you don't know what you're talking about. These are vaccines. They're not vaccines. Okay. When it's got the mRNA technology in it, it's gene therapy. And they have a division called COVID-19 Therapeutics Accelerator. They're therapeutics. It's gene therapy, therapeutics. That's what it is. That's what they're doing. They also, where you would probably know them best from is what they've been doing with researching the human genome. The Human Genome Project, did you hear about that? That went on years and years ago. That was run through them. They're the ones doing that. Okay. So they have sequenced genomes of hundreds of thousands of people by a group called the Welcome Sanger group. You know, like Margaret Sanger, the eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood as an opportunity to, quote, take care of our Negro problem. The lady that gave multiple speeches at Klan rallies, because those were her people. You know, the she was friends with Rudolf Ertz, at the Nazi eugenicist, head of eugenics work for the Nazis. I mean, this is Margaret Sanger is one of the worst people to ever live, and she's partnered up with them. So, I mean, that's why I say when you see the eugenics component in this, don't be dismissive of it. There's a lot of threads of it running through this. So let's first talk about this group that they created called the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, CEPI, C-E-P-I. All right, that's the acronym. So what is this? What do they plan to do? Oh, nothing major. They just aim to create new vaccines in 100 days. That's all. Because that sounds safe. They use the, quote, success of Moderna's COVID vaccine rollout as the example, and they state that the emergency use authorization would allow them to get approval in one day. So when they talk about rushing to market vaccines that are made in 100 days, the reason why they think that they can do that is because they watched what happened with the COVID and the Moderna vaccines, where they rolled them out fast. They got that emergency use authorization, which made it so that a couple things could happen. First of all, you could call it a vaccine when it wasn't one. You didn't have to deal with any of the pesky stuff like long-term trials and the fact that they haven't performed those. And it got you around a lot of government oversight and regulation. And it put you in a position where the government backstopped you and said, well, we'll make it so that nobody can sue you. Okay, these are all components that you have to have if you're going to roll out a vaccine in 100 days. And now, so they're saying, you know, this is what we want to do. And this is what, and they say this, shorten the time from lab to jab. Get the fuck out of here with that. Even Eric Lander, you know Eric Lander? He's Biden's science guy. You know Eric Lander, Epstein's buddy? You know, that guy, even he thinks this is insane. You know, he would know. He was like, well, I guess you could do it, but it sounds kind of crazy. So anyway, what this institution, this CEPI organization, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, what they're doing is they want to be prepared for what they call Disease X. And they say the X stands for everything we don't know.
Really?
Well, I'd like to ask Daniel List from Dark Journalist if he thinks that the X in Disease X stands for everything we don't know, or if maybe it stands for something else. He's done great, amazing work on X steganography, X Protect, and the secret space program. So I think there might be a little more to it. And anytime I see an X like that now, after watching his programs, and if you aren't in into watching Dark Journalist, you can find it on YouTube. You can, I highly recommend it. It's some of the best work out there. They do want to change the way the world deals with clinical trials and regulations. That's part of what this organization through the Wellcome Trust is doing. They want to change the way we deal with clinical trials, and they want to change the way we deal with regulation. And if you read in between the lines, what that means is they would like for the regulation to go away, and they would like for the clinical trials to be conducted by them and only them, and so that they can ramp things up and they don't have to show you the data. Because that's normal, right? So they're seeking $3.5 billion from governments, and they'll get it. And if they don't get it from governments, they'll get it from someone else. Because this institution, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, would you like to take a wild guess what city it's based in? Davos. Oh, if you said Davos, give yourself a big kiss. Would you like to know who's funding it? I mean, you know the World Economic Forum is funding this company. Yes, of course they are. And also the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Moving on, the Wellcome Center for Human Genetics. Have you heard of this institution? Let me tell you, it's probably for the best if you didn't, because what they're working on is male fertility issues. They're working on, they co-fund vaccine development and birth control methods. And who does the Wellcome Center for Human Genetics partner with on male fertility issues, vaccine development, and birth control methods? Oh, well, none other than the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, of course. You know, they've done outstanding work in Africa. I think that was a quote from Margaret Sanger. Just kidding. But I mean, if she were alive, she would be saying that. They actively engage in population control in Africa and South Asia. This is, again, this isn't me speculating that they're involved in population control. They say they are. It is part of their business model. That is what they are doing. Population control. Population control is a form of eugenics, okay? These people are deeply involved in that. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has been involved in this for a very, very long time. The World Health Organization was busted in 2014 for putting sterilants in the tetanus vaccines that they delivered to Kenya. And when it was discovered that they were sterilizing these women against their knowledge, you know, of course, they first denied it before admitting that they had been doing it. And then they were later forced to confess that not only had they done it, but they'd been doing it for a decade. And then they tried to bury all the evidence. And you don't read too much about that anymore. It's been covered up a lot by the search engines and everything, but it's out there. I mean, if you know the right places to look, you'll find it. And so this Wellcome Center for Human Genetics is deeply involved in the birth control problem in Africa and South Asia. South Asia being India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, that region. So, you know, what else have they done? What else has this group done? Well, they're actively involved, admittedly too. Like I said, they're not trying to hide from this. They're actively involved in the distribution of long-acting reversible contraceptives. That's things like Norplant that are implanted into a woman's arm, and then they spread out, they prevent, and I don't really know how the science all works, but they prevent you from getting pregnant, and then they can be taken out at a later date. Well, so they call them reversible. That's why it's long-acting reversible contraceptives. Well, there's questions about that. Norplant was pulled off the market in America, because it was just absolutely a catastrophe. They then, after it got pulled off the market, they then rebranded it and sold it in Asia, because that's what the pharmaceutical companies do. Like I said, they're all convicted felons. They think like gangsters. They're running a criminal cartel. And when you can't sell your product in this market because it's dangerous and fucking killing people, and it's being regulated in America, you go, well, where's the regulation lax? Southeast Asia? Africa, let's just go dump these products on them. It's not like we're not going to just dig a big hole and throw all these NOR plants in there. It'd be a waste of money. Of course not. Our stock price might go down 15 cents. We can't do that. Let's just sell it to everyone over in Bangladesh. They'll never know. And if they do find out, what are they going to do? Sue us? You know, so this is the mentality that they have. The pharmaceutical companies have. But the Wellcome Trust and their subsidiaries have the same mentality too, because they've grown from a pharmaceutical company. You understand? So it's not, this is not foreign to them. This is what they do. So they're, like I said, they're sort of like a quasi pharmaceutical company slash investment firm slash depopulation op. And the Gates Foundation and USAID, which is a CIA front group, distributed in these, all of these long acting reversible contraceptives in Bangladesh, Uganda, Nigeria, Niger, Burkina Faso, India, and Senegal. Lots of brown people there, right? Funny that the organizations with ties to the British Eugenics Society are so concerned about the reproductive services offered to people, brown people in foreign countries. They're just super obsessed with that. I'm sure it's for their own good though, right? I mean, I'm sure Margaret Sanger would approve of this. So what about the Wellcome Sanger Institute? Well, it was established by the Wellcome Trust in 1992. Same year as the UN's Earth Summit on Environment and Development. You remember that? Where that happened in Rio, where they marched that girl out there, the first Greta, or the second Naraya, however you want to phrase it. And she went out there and said, oh, the world's going to end in 12 years, you know, global warming and all these catastrophes. Yeah, that was the same time that the Wellcome Sanger Institute was developed. And they were going, so their mission is to sequence the code of life, the human genome. Okay. I'm not against science. I'm not against trying to understand the mystery of genetics. I recognize that it is a slippery slope and you kind of have to have the right people involved or else it turns into something else. Well, if you've got an institution with the name of Margaret Sanger involved in sequencing the code of life, the human genome, just color me a little bit suspicious of it. Don't color me brown, or she'll try to depopulate me. Quote, as genome sequencing rapidly turned biology into a big data science, we developed unique infrastructure, robotics, and software on a scale unprecedented in life sciences. Okay, here's the dirty little secret about genetics. Part of the genetics movement is just a fancy name for eugenics and depopulation on a genetic level. The fantasy of these people is to have vaccines that are specific to a particular gene type. Black people that come from this region of Africa, brown people that come from this region of South Asia, having these genetic markers, we make a vaccine that works for them, and what it does for them is it sterilizes them. That's what they're working on. That's what they want to do. That's what this is about. The vision is to be an ideas factory, identifying new frontiers in biology and conducting research characterized by large-scale data production that cannot be easily carried out elsewhere. They want to be experts in aggregation, analysis, and interpretation of large quantities of genomic data. So, there's been a problem, though. You see, this organization has some problems in it. Now, they have the sort of problems that a lot of companies are having. Sexual harassment, gender discrimination, bullying, forcing people to sign non-disclosure agreements when they left the company, harassment, misuse of grant money, you know, all that criminality. Hostile workplace, female scientists were getting passed over for their male counterparts and things like that. Not great, but not the worst thing I've ever seen. However, that pales in comparison to what they did in Africa. You see, they Welcome Sanger planned in 2019 to commercialize a genetics array based on African DNA samples from indigenous tribes. A couple of whistleblowers came forward from inside the organization. And of course, they were fired, as you do. Those two whistleblowers were fired. Eight other people, their jobs were made redundant, whatever that means. I'm assuming that means that they were forced out. But the problem is that they didn't have the legal rights to commercialize these chips. It's a long story and it's kind of complicated and technical, but they're these chips that they make. And what the chips do is the chips provide a picture of between 100,000 and a million points across the genome that would reflect the genetic diversity in Africa. Very important, these chips, right? Sort of like a starter kit for what the genetics of Africa is going to be. And so they, you know, and so the reasons why Welcome Sanger got involved in this, according, like the public reasons were that they claim that they're looking for genetic insights into heart disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure plaguing Africa. Except those things aren't plaguing Africa. Those things are plaguing America. You don't see a bunch of Africans with diabetes, right? You see a bunch of Americans with diabetes and heart disease, which is the leading cause of death, and high blood pressure, and a lot of Africans. So their story never made sense from the beginning. And listen, when you've got anything connected to Sanger Institute, getting involved in the genetics in Africa, after she is on the record talking about wanting to get rid of our Negro problem, I mean, you don't have to be a investigative reporter to see that there might be something more nefarious at play there. And of course they are. They were trying to do all of this without the consent of these tribes. And the whistleblowers came forward and it wound up getting stopped. So in the end, we'll see what winds up happening with that. But you know, it's not, you don't want the Sanger Institute anywhere near Africa, okay, or South Asia or Southeast Asia or South America for that matter, because she was a hardcore eugenics pushing racist scumbag. And anytime that they start to talk about genetics, mapping genomes and all of this stuff, and that we're going to help Africa, just be instantly suspicious. I mean, you know, those people that are like wanting to dig wells in Africa, I say go for it. I mean, good for you. If you want to help people that are deserving and need and in need, I'm all for that. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about big multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical companies that just all of a sudden have an interest in the poorest people in the world and want to, quote, help them. You know, I'm just a bit suspicious. Well, the Wellcome Trust, which is, let's just call that the parent company, with all of these subsidiaries coming off of it, they have a lot of business with and overlap with the Galton Institute. They have the same scientists, same genetic researchers, a lot of money comes from the same places, the same philosophies. And by the way, the Galton Institute used to be called the British Eugenics Society. I'm not making that up. That used to be their name, and it was their name until like the 1980s. You know, the marketing major in me is like, maybe time to change your name. Maybe time to not be a depopulation outfit would be the better answer to that. But if you are going to be, change it to the Galton Institute. But still, it's not like you can't dig up who Sir Francis Galton was and understand that he pushed the idea of eugenics. So their rebranding is kind of a joke in that. And these are both racial eugenics organizations, Wellcome Trust, Galton Institute, aka British Eugenics Society. Let's call it the British Eugenics Society from now on. I think that's more fitting. That's what their name used to be. I'm old school. Let's go back to the 80s. Let's use that. These are eugenics organizations disguised as charities and medical research facilities, operations. And these two organizations have come together to focus on a couple issues. I'm sure you're curious what they are. Population issues, genetics, evolutionary biology, and fertility. Interesting. So Wellcome Trust, this big pharmaceutical behemoth investment firm, has partnered up with the British Eugenics Society, interested with the depopulation of black people and brown people. And they're focusing on population issues, genetics, evolutionary biology, and fertility. Do you know who else was focusing on those four things? Jeffrey Epstein. Do I have your attention? That's how deep this shit goes. There's a lot happening here. And it's not over yet, because they've got a new operation called Wellcome Leap that has just been launched. It started in May of 2020. It was seed financed with $300 million in initial funding, and it seeks to achieve breakthrough scientific and technological solutions by a certain year. Would you like to guess what year that is? 2030. Agenda 2030. Part of Agenda 21 from the United Nations. Always got that benchmark of 2030. Wellcome Leap, just last year, May of 2020, almost 2 years ago, they decided, you know what we're going to do? We're going to work on breakthrough scientific technological solutions, and we hope to have them all ready by 2030. I'm sure that's just a coincidence though, right? And a focus on complex global health challenges, all global health is challenging, I would suggest, but they want to change existing practice, theories, concepts, standards, or approaches used within a field of scientific area. So they want to do things differently. Okay, again, nothing inherently wrong with wanting to do things differently. But when you start to dig into who is running this operation, my guess is that you will get the uncomfortable feeling that I have. And you will understand that Wellcome Leap is going to be maybe one of the most dangerous organizations on the planet. So let's check and see who is running this operation, shall we? Lady you've probably never heard of, Regina Duggan. She is the head of Wellcome Leap. She has a PhD in mechanical engineering from Caltech. It's a great school. She started, I assure you, her resume, the wheels are just about to fall off when I mentioned the first company she worked with. And it's going to be a running theme. Regina Duggan started at DARPA in 1996. Where she was in charge of a counterterrorism task force. I know what you're thinking. That's a perfect background to have when going into biomedical industry, right? Wrong. She became the special advisor to the U.S. Army's vice chief of staff from 2001 through 2003. Anything happen in 2001 and 2003? That the Army might be involved in? Oh yeah, just the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. She then started a company called Duggan Ventures that launched a company called Red X Defense that contracts with the military and DARPA. And for those of you that don't know, DARPA is an acronym, Defense Advanced Research Project Association Administration. Assholes. I forget what the A stands for. She went back to DARPA in 2009 as the first female head director. And people were saying, oh, this is a great accomplishment, a great, listen, like running DARPA, like, oh, you're the first female head of DARPA. It's like Gina Haspel. It's like the first female head of the CIA. Congratulations. Isn't this a breakthrough for women? Not really. You're the one now. So now we have ladies ordering drone strikes, and we have ladies that are authorizing the budgets to create those robot dogs and shit like that, that Boston Dynamics was building, you know, yay, equality, winning. She created DARPA's Transformational Convergence Technology Office that focused on, you know, just machine intelligence, synthetic biology, and social networks. I don't know, man. I feel like she should be a writer for Black Mirror. She probably got all the... She's probably got some good episodes in her for that. She is the one that pushed DARPA into funding mRNA technology, which I suggest is the reason why she is the head of Wellcome Leap. That in turn forced... When DARPA decided to get involved in researching mRNA technology, they also started investing elsewhere in it. And the two places that DARPA invested for their mRNA technology, only Pfizer and Moderna. And I had Dr. Robert Malone on our group show, The Union of the Unwanted, with Ricky Veranda, Sam Tripoli, and Midnight Mike from OBDM. By the way, shout out OBDM. Got my OBDM mug here for those watching. Dr. Robert Malone said, we asked him who, you know, he said the problem with the mRNA technology is when you turn it on, it starts making spike proteins, but you can't turn it off. And we said, well, who the fuck would hire you to make a product like that that you turn on, can't turn off? He said, the military. She then, let's see, she wound up having conflict of interest issues because of her Red X defense company was partnering with DARPA. So she owned this company, she was running DARPA, and then the company that she owned was also doing deals with DARPA. It's just, it's messy when you do that. You know, you're asking for, you're asking to be, to have people look into it when massive conflicts of interest. And of course, she was guilty of all of that. She violated ethics rules, a military investigation found, but of course they did nothing to her. So I would think she'd be untouchable. What are you going to do to her? The head of DARPA is one of the most dangerous people you'll ever meet. You don't like talk about getting roofied. You don't leave your drink sitting around in front of old Regina Dugan. She put something in there. You have fucking aliens growing in your stomach. Don't worry, everybody, because it gets much scarier, because she then left DARPA to go lead Google's Advanced Technology and Products Group, which is basically Google's version of DARPA. In fact, they told her, make it our DARPA, with, you know, Sergey Brin and Larry Page running Google, with Sergey Brin being married to Anne Wojcicki from 23andMe, just genetic sequencing, that's all, collecting all your genetic material for the people at Google and the people at DARPA. Don't worry about it. And I hope this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Please do not submit your shit to Ancestry.com and 23andMe and all of these places. Okay, don't do it. You don't know what you're doing when you do that. Hey, look, I'm related to King Tut. Like, no, you're not. They're building a voodoo doll of you in some underground bunker someplace that's going to look like you and talk like you and have all your genetics. And one day they're going to make you get hit by a truck and they're going to roll out your double. I don't know. I'm just making that up, but sounds like they might be doing it. So while she was at Google creating their version of DARPA, she worked on augmented reality and virtual reality through Project Tango. And basically what she was doing with the augmented reality and virtual reality type things was she was trying to create it. She was working, you know, like in the movie The Predator, when the Predator is looking around and he sees like reds and yellows and greens, but he can't really pin down a human shape. I went to the Project Tango and I looked up what all they were doing, and it's best described as predator shit. Okay. So, you know, sleep tight, but there's more. She was working on smart clothing, which I can only suspect will probably kill you in the middle of the night and strangle you, like your shirt collar, like zips up, and, you know, and digital tattoos. digital tattoos. Where, oh, where have we heard them talking about digital tattoos with luciferase and patent number 60606? I mean, look, I'm not trying to scare the shit out of everybody, but if you are scared at this point, you are not alone. I'm sorry. It's just kind of scary. She worked on creating what they called a digital authentication pill to turn your entire body into an authentication token while trying to fix the mechanical mismatch between humans and electronics. Really? There's a mechanical mismatch? You mean you can't just blend humans with electronics and everything go well? Well, I think now is a good time to remind everybody that the overriding theme that the World Economic Forum is putting forth in their Build Back Better Fourth Industrial Revolution master plan for the master race is that what the Fourth Industrial Revolution is the blending of man with machine. Again, not my speculation. They talk about it on their website. You can go to weforum.org and read all about it. Transhumanism is what they want. That's the Fourth Industrial Revolution. They talk about it openly. That's what they want. They want you to blend in with machines. They want your body to, they want you to take a pill so that you can have a digital authentication pill so that they can turn you into an authentication token. Your body, Project Tango is talking about like predator type AR, VR viewing. And mind you, this was early stages. It's gotten a lot better. They're working on smart clothing, digital tattoos. This is bad. This is all bad. So after scaring the shit out of humanity by creating these things at Google, she went to work at Facebook and ran. Didn't just work for, but ran Building 8 at Facebook. How would I describe it? You've got Lockheed Martin, and then you've got Lockheed Martin Skunk Works that's building the secret stuff. That's Building 8 at Facebook. She ran that. And she was focused on, and again, it's Facebook's DARPA, where they're making all the secret technology. And she led them on brain machine interface technology for wearables. Great. Just great. Now we see what Facebook's doing with Meta, Metaverse. You know, we know they bought Oculus for $2 billion years ago. She's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations Task Force on U.S. Technology and Innovation Policy. You want to know who she sits on that? Who she sits on that group? On that task force with? Oh, none other than Reid Hoffman from LinkedIn, Eric Schmidt, former head of Google, who's the head of AI for the Pentagon, and Biden's crazy science guy, Eric Landers, the guy who's Epstein's buddy. And in case you weren't all, in case this wasn't enough to show you that Regina Dugan is a dangerous human being, she chaired a panel at the Clinton Global Initiative, and she's been involved with Bilderberg at 2015 with regards to artificial intelligence. That's who's running Welcome Leap, but she's not doing it by herself. Ken Gabriel's the COO. He's from MIT, which is a deep state university. Lots of nefarious ties there. He was the deputy director of DARPA himself. Again, like I said, there's a running theme for Welcome Leap. It's all the people that used to run DARPA. Well, Welcome Leap is like Welcome Trust DARPA, but pharmaceutical based. Just allow your brain to go wherever it wants to go with that. Okay, it's probably not a good place. Ken Gabriel was the director of electronics technology from 96 to 97. At DARPA, where he was in charge of half of all the federal electronics technologies investments. You know what that, which was about $400 million a year. And that reminds me of someone or of some entity. It reminds me of InQtel, which is the venture capital arm of the Central Intelligence Agency. You know, it's when the CIA goes and wants to fund startups like, oh, I don't know, the Facebook, it's kind of hard to do that. And then have Facebook show that they took money from the CIA, because we just, you know, you'll draw your own conclusions, but none of them are good when the CIA is giving you money. So what the CIA did is they said, our brand is a little bit tainted. you know, with the murders and assassinations, destabilization, regime change programs, constant lying, propaganda, and all that stuff, you know. So what we're going to do is we're going to create another company, a different company called InQtel. And that is the CIA's venture capital arm. And then you go look at all the companies that InQtel has funded, you know, Google, Facebook, Palantir. So this Ken Gabriel guy was in charge of $400 million a year of DARPA. And that's why I'd say it reminds me of InQtel, because he was using that money and spreading it around in other projects. He went to work at Carnegie Mellon University, where he was in the Office for Security Technologies that was created in the aftermath of 9/11. He founded a company called Acoustica in 2002 for micro electromechanical systems, otherwise known as MEMS. MEMS is the acronym for micro electromechanical systems. These are semiconductors. Minuscule microscopic semiconductors. He ran that until from 2002 to 2009, when he went back to DARPA as deputy director under Regina Dugan. So these two have been working together for years. The common thread is that they go to DARPA and they work on something, and then they leave and go to private Facebook, Google, Carnegie Mellon, wherever, start their own companies, and then they come back to DARPA. And then they leave DARPA again. So there's a revolving door that's going on here. Ken Gabriel went to Google with Dugan in 2012 to create Advanced Technology and Products Group, ATPG, so that they could build out Google's DARPA. So these are the people that are in charge of that. And then he became CEO of Draper Labs to develop innovative technology solutions for the national security state that focused on biomedical systems, energy, and space technology. Okay, so this is, just to give you an idea, this is the background of these people. He left Draper Labs for Welcome Leap in 2020 with Dugan, and the two of them are there now. So they've been there for a little under 2 years. God knows what they're working on. Ken Gabriel is a member of the World Economic Forum's Technology Pioneer. Of course, that's a surprise to nobody. He sits on the board of Galvani Bioelectrics, a joint venture with SmithKline, GlaxoSmithKline, like we mentioned, Wellcome Trust, that focuses on the development of bioelectronic medicines that fits with the big pharma, big tech push for transhumanism. And just a sort of a kind of a side note, but tied to that board that he sits on, Galvani Bioelectrics. The chairman of Galvani was a guy named Moncef Soloui, who, if you recall, he's the guy that led Trump's Operation Warp Speed. So until he was removed for sexual harassment and promptly got hired at CNN, I assume. I don't know. I'm making that up. But look, this is the point. There's pharmaceutical companies out there that are doing great things. There really are. There are some pharmaceutical companies out there that are doing unspeakable things. The depopulation agenda is very real. I'd love for it to not be. I'd love for it to be dismissible as some conspiracy theory. It's not. It's well established. It's not new. It's been going on for over 100 years. There's something that happens when these rich guys, especially rich white guys, get together. They start looking at the rest of the planet like colonizers. And they start thinking, well, you know, we got a whole segment of the population doing nothing except breeding like cockroaches. They contribute nothing to this planet. The planet would function better if there were fewer of them. Let's get rid of them. Let's prune them. Now, in some of the documents that I went over for this, the technology, the computer technology they're talking about was going in and pruning, their terms, pruning the genetic codes of some people. Like, what are you talking about? These are human beings, not rose bushes. Okay, this is unacceptable behavior, but it's out there. And it's happening. And that's part of the point of this show is sometimes we give solutions. Sometimes we just talk about the issues. I don't have a solution for this. Not yet, at least. I'll let you know if I do. So in the absence of a solution, at least what we're going to focus on is acknowledgement that these people are out there. And when you start here, I think it's important for you to know the names. Welcome Trust, Welcome Sanger Institute, Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, CEPI, Welcome Center for Human Genetics, and Welcome Leap. And when you hear these names, in the future, you're going to go, wait a second. I heard about these guys before. Don't expect you to remember all this stuff. It's pretty detailed. But just know that when you, and welcome, spelled W-E-L-L-C-O-M-E. So a misspelled, I mean, it's the guy's last name. So it's spelled correctly for him. But when you see that Welcome Trust, the double L's, you'll go, I recognize that. And you might come back to this episode. So important to know who the enemies are. They disguise them to look like the good guys. We're far too advanced to fall for that horseshit. We're on to them. We're watching them. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and all of these foundations that are out there talking about we're gonna do well so that we do good and all that. That's all bullshit. It's a front group for eugenics operations and human depopulation. They want to thin the herd. The best way to do it is through medicine. Unfortunately, under the guise of saving you, they're going to kill you or sterilize you or destroy you. I wish it wasn't the case, but unfortunately, when it comes to these people, that's how they think. If you like this episode, take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can connect with me at the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. We're now going to 3 shows a week. We're doing Flashback Fridays, Bring Your Own Acid. Woohoo! There's a lot of people that have joined the show lately that didn't get to hear some of the older shows. Of course, they're all available. You can go wherever you get your podcasts and go back into the archives and bring them forward. But I figured we would do that. We're going to rotate them in there. So every Friday, you're going to get a new old show. And you can connect with me through the website. You can also follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions. We have a fantastic merchandise store if you're interested in getting cool mugs or shirts. I've got baseball 3/4 length baseball tees that are killer. We've got stickers. Our sticker game is phenomenal. So if you're looking for something for your friends, family, or just to trigger your coworker, go to theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com and there will be a tab there for the merch store. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
About Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.